You know, Mark, this whole Christmas thing, I'm just really more partial to Flag Day.
You know, me too. But there's no good movies.
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Good news! Good Divina!
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natale!
We are the Wild and Crazy Guys!
Well, they're both festive, aren't they?
Joyeux Noël!
And we are the Festive Foreign Film Fans! Hey, Mark!
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Boo!
I know.
It's getting close to Halloween time, Mark!
Do you have your Halloween costume on, Bob?
Mark, this is what I wore to work today. My boss said, you can be Batman any day. You know, I know it's getting dark earlier and you know, it's getting colder and all that, but come on, don't you just love it? You walk outside and it's the spooky weather.
I mean, I do love the chill. Fall is my favorite time of the year.
Well, and I'm also, you know, Christmas is number one. But Halloween's kind of a close second, and I'm just more of like kind of not the although I love trick-or-treating and I love all that, yeah. But I just kind of like the whole feel of the spookiness of Halloween, so it's great.
I love when there's a fog on Halloween.
Like, oh, yes.
It's the creep factor is amazing.
It also makes me think, as the chill starts to come in the air, you know, we're after come next week after Halloween. It is for me, you know, the kick. It's the holiday season. It kicked in. Now, I think we talked about this. I won't decorate my house or anything till after Thanksgiving. However, I'm in the mode. I'm thinking. I'm starting to plan. I'm putting stuff together. So, you know, we're almost there, Mark.
It's getting close. It is exciting. I mean, I get pretty excited. I think about like what's coming, right? It's that anticipation. It's the family time. It's the hopefully the calm and off of work time. It's the 12 beers of Christmas at Duke's Ale House, right? I mean, those are the Christmas. I mean, once Thanksgiving passes. It's 12 beers of Christmas time.
It's 12 beers of Christmas time.
With my family, which makes me calm.
And we should explain to our listeners. So there is a local restaurant near us called Duke's, and they have, not only do they have the 13 beers of Halloween, they also have the 12 beers of Christmas. And these are special seasonal beers that they offer. And if you drink, say, either all 13 or all 12 of them, you get a prize.
You do. Sometimes very nice prizes.
And Mark has introduced me to this. And I tell you, last year we had a club. We were there. We made sure that all of us earned our, because at Christmas time, it gets very difficult it to does. Be able to take the time and go over there, have a few cocktails. And we all earned our flannel shirts.
They're very nice flannel shirts too. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you remember, Bob, the first time, right, we happened to be talking, I was telling you about the 12 beers at Christmas, because Sue and I and Brian and Eric, we've done it now for, gosh, I don't even know, going 7 or 8 years. And I was describing you, and I was like, yeah, there's this, you know, Duke's Ale House, they have this thing, it's called 12 beers at Christmas, and I'm describing, and you looked at me like, I was crazy, because you're like, you know, Mark, you mean the 13 beers of Halloween. And I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm like, Bob doesn't think I know the difference between Halloween and Christmas. That's interesting. I said, no, the 12 beers of Christmas. And you're like, no, you mean the 13 beers of Halloween. And it was honestly, you introduced me to the 13 Beers of Halloween. I didn't know they did Halloween either. So
isn't that funny that we both were going to the same place and we miss it? And I think it's because I put in all the time in October and then I probably wouldn't get over there till, you know, during the holiday season. And so now we're doing both.
Yes. It's a great tradition and it sort of offsets maybe the other stuff as you're getting into this holiday season. Like, what do you dread, Bob? Like, what do you dread about the next couple months?
So there's not a lot that I dread because I get pretty excited. And you mentioned the anticipation. I think that's what makes the holidays. You get so excited about doing things and the family time and just the planning and the almost is better than when it actually happens. It's just the build up to it. What I do dread is I think, there's a lot of pressure in terms of and stress. Oh, you got to, see certain people, know, family commitments, extended family commitments, all that. And sometimes that pressure can take away from the enjoyment. But I think for the most part, everybody just tries harder. You know what I mean? And so that it happens, but it's minimal. Right. But that's what I don't like. I don't like when the stress builds up and it gets overwhelming.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, sometimes it's self-imposed and stress, right? I mean, I know we each like and take pride in our picking of our family event. I can't say that ever gets stressful, but I do like to be creative. I do like to keep people guessing in it. So I probably put too much pressure on myself. Since I know my family and your family are saying like they're excited with no matter what we do, but
over the years I've gotten myself in trouble. I remember when the kids were small and I posted like a schedule, like a calendar of all the movies we were gonna watch, and my wife didn't take too kindly to that. And then last year I think when I printed the calendar, and she was like, and she does way more than I do, so obviously she sees a calendar with like five things on each day and she flips a little bit. But I told her, oh no, those are just like possibilities of things that we could do. They're not required, but she looks at it and she thinks we got to do all those things. And she's like, there's no way we can get to all of that.
It was a very impressive calendar, Bob. Hey, you want to talk about a movie?
I'd love to talk about this movie.
Want to watch a Christmas movie?
Christmas movies are our bread and butter.
We eat Chinese food and watch Christmas movies.
I heard it's the best Christmas movie since Home Alone.
The movie we're going to talk about tonight is called Pastorella, and it's from 2011. And Pastorella is a Mexican movie. It's it actually means nativity play. And so it's a very interesting movie. I'm going to talk a little bit about what Pastorella is, but let's talk about the actors, because it's interesting is that the main actor, the main character, Agent Jesus Juarez, the actor's name was Joaquin Cosio. And he's a Mexican actor and a poet, but he's been in quite a few films.
Yeah, did he look familiar to you?
Totally.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I'm like, I have seen him before.
Like, think about every tough-looking character, right? And so we found out, right, that he is the villainous General Medrano in the James Bond film Quantum of Solace. And in the recent DC superhero film, The Suicide Squad, with Margot Robbie, Sylvester Stallone, and Viola Davis, and Idris Elba, right? So he's played in multiple films. He's a very recognizable face.
Yeah.
Actually, a very good actor.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, so he is the main character in this movie.
And he makes the movie.
He does make the movie. I mean, he is an intense bad guy. The other actor I would say is Eduardo España. He plays Compadre Valermo Villafuerte. He's a Mexican actor and a comedian. And you could, it's funny. I watched the movie before. I knew some of the actors' names, stuff like that. He is kind of funny, and he just sort of has this whole body and his facial features. While he doesn't necessarily say a lot of funny things, he's comedic in his physical acting.
And don't they play off each other? Because they're like the two rivals.
And maybe a description is worth it, right? Yeah. Think about Jesus Juarez as a big, strapping, strong, intimidating guy. Think about Valarmo as a very small, tiny, thin, kind of squiggly kind of guy.
And right? I think of him in there. There's a chase scene in this movie, and you see him, and he's in this devil costume in his little pot belly.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the third person I would highlight is Carlos Cobos. And he plays Padre Orlando Posadas. And, you know, Carlos Cobos is a Mexican film actor who also appeared in The Legend of Zorro with Antonio Banderas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Unfortunately, though, he died at a very early age. He was only 54 years old and died in 2012, but very strong.
Oh, then it was right near when this film came out, yeah.
Right, like right after.
Now, did he look familiar to you?
Absolutely.
He did to me, too. I'm like, that was another one I thought. He looks very familiar to me.
He does. I mean, but he, I thought he did a great job in the film as well. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, which we'll get into a little bit, talk about the movie. But those are the three main actors. Of course, in any case, there's some Adrian Suarez's daughter.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. She plays her part really well too.
She really does. She tries to balance out her dad's evilness. but it's funny, right? Because he's a police officer. But let's talk about Pastoral a little bit. Like again, it means the nativity scene. And before we talk about the movie, I thought Bob would share with the viewers a little bit about what is Pastoral, right? Okay. It's didn't know any of this.
But I didn't either.
It's amazing. I mean, it goes back to the 16th century.
Oh, wow.
And really, the legend is that these plays were brought over by Franciscan monks to teach the native people of America, of the Americas, about Christianity. So, right, you think about trying to talk about Christmas, talk about Christianity. There's a language barrier, and so maybe acting out type of plays is a way to sort of start teaching the Christian lessons about Christmas specifically. The common belief in Mexico is that the plays themselves, the Pastorela plays, started in a little town called Alcoman. Alcoman. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of dispute. There's some smaller regions said, no, we had ours first. But again, think about this going back to the 16th century that these plays have been wrong. And it's kind of important to know and sense that because, right, if you watch this film and in fact, it made me appreciate the film is why is this guy so passionate about wanting to be in this nativity play, right? You're a grown man. But,
well, and now he's over the top, but all of them are. And there's like this regional pride, you know?
Who has the best play, right? And so there's many people in Mexico believes there is no Christmas without having a Pastorela play. And the play just recreates the shepherds following the Star of Bethlehem. And following the Star of Bethlehem to find where the Christ child is born. The play depicts that the shepherds are met with multiple challenges, right? They are left to be hungry. They lose their money. Of course, the big scene is when they are confronted by the devil, right? And so—
Can I ask you one thing before we get into the devil? What part does Adam and Eve play? Because do you remember where the priest turns to Adam and Eve and says, you guys are messing up too. And you look at him and go, wait, why are Adam and Eve in this Christmas
play?
I totally
agree. Like, I'm like, well, like, there's nothing in there. I just think it was a comedic relief of the movie.
Yeah.
But the high point of the Pastorela play is when the shepherds are confronted by the devil, the devil's not letting them pass, and then the archangel Michael comes and fights the devil, right? And so, like, that is the true tradition, right? That is actually what is important in the Mexican family and culture and traditions and Christianity. And so well, I thought it was important to give that background because the play itself is about a local church, right, wants to participate in the national pastorella competition, right? Everybody has their plays every year, but this year the archbishop is decided that there's going to be a national competition, and the winner is going to get an all expense paid trip to the resort. Now the best actor is going to get the trip to this beautiful trip for two, all expenses paid. And so knowing that this is an important event, knowing that there's a prize, that's when sort of is the background as the movie begins.
And Mark, I almost wish I would have known what you just described to me. I mean, some of this you gather in the watching the movie, but knowing the pivotal scene and the fact, the confrontation of the art, because they're part of you going, why is the angel and devil in this Christmas story? But it's really, that's good to know.
Yep. And so the movie starts with Agent Juarez, which I'll start to go by his nickname in the movie was Chucho.
Chucho, yeah.
Chucho. Yeah. And so Chucho is this federal agent. He's living with his daughter. Trying to bond with his daughter, right? They're going to both be in the play together. You know, he's going to be in the local play for his parish, in the neighborhood of the San Miguel de Nalepco in Mexico City. And so this big event's happening. His best buddy is the priest, right? And, you know, he doesn't go to the planning night because he's got this. And the thing is, he wants to play the devil. Right. He wants to be right. He has rehearsed.
Oh, he's played it for years, right?
Played it for years. And he's the meanest devil. Right. And again, they're trying to make this play again. Go back to what I said. They're very passionate about this. Right. And they want to experience the evil. Right.
And he owned his own costume. He bought his own costume.
Yes.
The devil. And which is better than, you know, what the church had.
Exactly. And so, but that's what he is, you know, he's planning on it. So he does not go because Father Mendito will take care of him and give him the play. Father Mendito had a little problem. Father Mendito dies.
Yes.
Right? Unbeknownst to Chucho. But Chucho doesn't know that the priest died. And so the next day he goes to see his friend who always plays the role of I think it's God.
Yeah, it looks right? Like God, yeah.
And so he's dancing around in this devil outfit, right? I mean, you know, it's sort of funny, right? Because this guy sort of metamorphizes into the devil and likes it. And
he looks good.
He does look good. I mean, well, that face.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's the epitome of what you would imagine. If you said, think of a devil, what does the face look like? It's him.
Without, and he has a deep voice. Yeah, and yeah.
Without makeup.
Yeah.
And so he's dancing around and he's, you know, scares his friend, right? And, you know, the friend's like, why are you so happy? He's like, well, I'm here. We're going to have the play. We're going to be the national best, the best performance. And he's like, you haven't talked to the new priest. He's like, new priest? What happened to Father Benito? And he shares with them that Father Mendito is dead and that he did not get the devil role. And he's outraged, like, how can that be? I've been doing this forever. I know all the lines inside out. And so he wants to know, well, why didn't, like, who got the role? And it turns out it's his friend.
His friend.
Right? Who, when they're doing the role, when they're dispersing the roles, he actually originally says, well, Chucho always plays the devil. And he's like, well, Chucho's not here, the new priest. And his friend is like, well, I don't know who would be a good devil. He goes, well, I kind of do. But then he looks over at the nun and has a fantasy dream of going away for an expense paid vacation with the nun, right, to celebrate it. So
I was wondering if you were going to bring up that scene because, oh my gosh, what I love is they're at a water park and she still has her habit on while they're going down the water slide and swimming.
Exactly. And so at first he starts to defend his friend, but all for the imaginary love of the nun to go take her to the water park, that sort of turns him against his friend. So he finds out his friend's going against him. He confronts his friend, right? They have a battle over betrayal and things like that, but he still won't take solace in that he is not going to be the devil.
And just as an aside, it sounds like a small matter. Like he wants to be the devil in a play at the church and he doesn't get it. No, this is the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it's important. It's critical to him. And everything spins off from the fact that he didn't get his role as the devil.
And he's going to do whatever he can to get it, right? Because, and you know, it's really interesting. He doesn't even care necessarily that there's this national competition. It's his parish. Yeah. He plays the devil, you know, and that this other guy, his buddy, plays the archangel. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And so now that this Father Amundo Posados has come into play, he is going to go see him. So he has this plan. I'm going to go see him. I'm going to confront him. I'm going to convince him. And so he goes in unannounced to the priest's facility, knocks on the door. He pretends like he's not there and tries to run away. Oh, did I mention that he shows up for the meeting in his devil costume? I mean, the whole movie and around the play, it all happens in around a 1 or 2 day period. It's on Christmas Eve, right? They're getting ready. Of course, there's a national competition overview committee, right? And so he goes to see Father Posado and says, I should be the devil. I've been doing this for years and all this stuff. And the father's like, hey, I don't really care. Like, rules are rules. I have the roster right here in my hand. It has to be in by noon tomorrow. And so I'm going to hand this in and you need to be gone. You need to go. He offers him some minor role as a shepherd or a tree, right? I love the guy who's trying to become the archangel role, and he's stumbling. And the Father Posado said, "Was he in the play last year?" They're like, "Yeah." What role did he play? He was like, "He played a tree."
Right? I mean, what? There are so many like little small jokes happening throughout the whole thing, and there are like stereotypes, like the mean nun who's like the judge who's like approving just the way she's like. Like looks at everyone and it's just so funny.
Flashbacks for me to grade school. I mean, she may have been my grade school teacher, but so anyway, it goes to the bad. So like, there's multiple things he does to try to disrupt. Right, first is going and trying to intimidate Father Posado. Then he actually gets his other federal agents right to follow Father Posado. And he sees the manila envelope, right, that he's going out to get. And so they surround Father Posado, right? They handcuff him. But Father Posado was onto them and actually had given the registration, the actual participation, the roster. But he fools him, but sends it to a young kid who gets stamped in on time. So, you know, he's tried to intimidate and he tries to steal the list because he was going to write his name in there. But then it continues, right? So then he kidnaps his friend, right? Who was the archangel now in previous years, beats him up, tries to hold him hostage. Meanwhile, back at the church, they're getting worried because now they have no devil. They have no archangel. He goes and he's like, fine, I will be the archangel, right? Because he's tried two other ways. Yes. And he's like, fine, I'll be the archangel. So he's having the rehearsal with his friend now who is the devil. He's archangel. And he takes out his mighty sword as the archangel and whacks him right in the head, knocks him out. They take him to the hospital. Again, this, you know, Chucho is a very powerful man, right? He's not a good man, but he's a very powerful man. He has contacts with you know, the underworld, yes, with other corrupt police. And, you know, in the background of what's going on too, is there's been a murder of a federal judge and everybody's trying to find them because there's a big reward. And so Chucho is sort of using that as a, hey, I think I know who the murderer is. Which then he goes to the hospital, tells the doctor, he's like, here's some money, you know, make sure you keep him here, put him on observation. And the doctor, he's looking, he's like, yeah, I could do that. He goes, but I don't think I can justify the enema.
That's what I was going to say. The main thing is give him an enema. You got to give him an enema.
And so Chucho goes there, right? He is now dressed as a devil. Father Posada is seeing his play fall apart. The archbishop is present for their play. You know, Chucho, through the process as he's trying to become the archangel, there's a scene. It's kind of a quiet one. It's kind of a quick one, but he sort of makes a deal with the real devil, and now has possessed his powers. He can push people away. He can do all types of things. And so he goes in, and he is now at the play. It's live. The other thing too, I'm sorry. The other thing that's also kind of funny is the head of police says, okay, we're looking for a devil. We're looking for a person dressed in red who looks like the devil. And he orders the police to arrest everybody who looks like, who's dressed in red, right? Which, again, think about the time of the year. There's lots of pastorella plays going on. So let's start rounding up all these devils. They also round up Santa Claus.
And the when they grab Santa, they're like, they're supposed to have horns. And then they look, and he doesn't have horns. And then they just start kicking him.
I think the one guy says, he'll grow them.
Yeah.
But they all end up, and sort of the scene all goes into where they, they're at the diocese. They're doing the play. Chucho comes in. He's now dressed as the archangel. And the priest is dressed as the devil, right? So his nemesis, Father Posada, right, wants this play to be good. So now the priest is the devil. And the devil is really archangel, right? So there's this great role. So Chucho's the archangel, and they fight. And Chucho's using some of his strong powers, which all the people in the audience are like, oh, he's making doors close. Oh, furniture's flying. These are great special effects. Little they know that a holy man is really fighting with the devil up on stage. And in the end, the archangel kills the devil. So really what it looks like is that good has won, but in reality bad has won. And so it was a very interesting movie.
Oh, and we didn't even talk about the exorcism, and we're not gonna, but and that whole, there's a whole little storyline that's bizarre, and this is,
yeah,
you know, I mean, let's go through our,
yeah, let's talk about it. I mean, it's what do you think for a Christmas movie?
So that's it's a funny thing, because I love this movie, but I don't think it's a Christmas movie. I mean, the play is a Christmas play, and they talk about it and all that, but it seems like the Christmas part is very subdued and not even discussed very much. So love it, not a Christmas movie.
Until I researched how passionate the culture is about the pastorella plays and how important it is to their culture, while it's not that we ever see the play from beginning to end, I think, you know, again, I've said before, can this movie stand without it, without that Christmas piece? I don't think it can. So I think I'm going to go with that it is a Christmas movie.
Okay.
We're on opposite ends again.
Yeah.
how'd you make, what kind of feeling did you have at the end?
I would say I loved, you know, 80% of the movie. I thought the end, it kind of went off in a direction I didn't think it needed to. It was a great movie, yeah, with the kind of the main storyline, the demonic element. I think it's great for, we're talking about this right before Halloween, and that's why I thought it was a good movie for tonight. But so I would say I thought it was great, until the end.
Okay. You know, there is something at the end too with the song at the end when Tuco's in prison. But yeah, I enjoyed the movie quite a bit. I think it was, you know, again, there's that comedic effort, part of it. I also like movies that sort of end in a way that I don't think they're going to end. And this one did. So yeah, I'd say I enjoyed this movie quite a bit.
And that's where, so now when we move into, so like, you know, how did it make you feel? But now we get into like, would you watch it again or would you recommend it? And Mark, yeah. I would say both. Absolutely. In fact, I watched it twice to talk about it tonight. In the second time, I enjoyed it even more because you start to catch some of the stuff you missed the first time go around. And it's hilarious. It is. It's, and I mean, in some ways, I mean, there's corruption, there's, you know, some sex, and just the fact that the father, Desmondo, that he,
Posado
is, he swears all the time, yeah. all the time. And it's all of that is just so funny. And I would highly recommend, I would tell people, you want to have a great time, you want to watch a really fun movie, this is it. So, maybe I wouldn't say for Christmas time,
right?
But I would say, and what I do like though is, as an aside, just in terms of getting a view of the culture and how important this is and how serious people take it, and you know, I'm going by the movie that believing that that's really the case, but it really seemed, you know what I mean? Like very there were passionate. When they talked about the competition with 66 pastorellas, that yeah. were, you know.
Yeah, I, you know, nothing to add there. I agree with you. I'd highly recommend it. I probably will watch it again. One thing to note for our fans, there is a movie that's called La Pastorella that's out there. Oh. This is just Pastorella. And just La Pastorella actually stars people like Paul Rodriguez and a few other famous actors. And so if you're out there researching, make sure, again, there's La Pastorella. We're talking about Pastorella okay. tonight.
Oh,
so,
good to know.
Yeah. yeah. And it sounds like it's a very different vibe. So okay. Be on the lookout for that. I bet you I don't have to teach you how to say Merry Christmas in Mexican.
I won't sing it, though, but I know how to say
Spanish,
it. Or
in Spanish, rather. Yeah.
Feliz Navidad.
Exactly. Probably our easiest one to date.
So far, right? yeah.
But let's talk about some of the other cultural things, Bob, about Christmas in Mexico. Mexico has a going back to 12 Beers of Christmas. Let's start there. Mexico has a traditional beer that they called Noche Buena. The cases and bottles of beer are decorated with poinsettias, and it's usually sold from October until December. The name actually means good night, right? But actually refers to Christmas Eve, right? The Spanish word for Christmas Eve is actually Noche Buena. The poinsettia is called Noche Buena. Unlike the vast majority of Mexican beers, Noche Buena is kind of a Bock beer, right? Which you don't typically see in Mexico. The historical background on that is that the Germans founded a brewery in Mexico in around 1924, and they started to brew this Bock beer. Eventually, they start making this as gifts for the workers' families, and that created a broader public demand. So I know I'm going to look for this.
That's so funny. I was just thinking the same thing. I'm like, now I want to try that. I do.
I think it'd be, it sounds like a
very
good beer.
Let's talk to Dukes.
To Come Dukes. On, yeah, exactly. Also, Mexico, it's a multifaceted event. Posadas are a Christian tradition. The style is different from town to town. Some that includes parades, some dancers, musicians, just a lot of revelry throughout the different cities. The yearly Catholic tradition carries on for 9 nights, starting around the 16th of December and ending on the 24th. Again, there's a reenactment of a part of the Christmas story. Night after night, 2 volunteers dress as Mary and Joseph, and they walk through the community, knocking on doors each day of the Posada season. The journey sort of symbolizes, obviously, the biblical journey of Mary and Joseph. But families take turns hosting the Posadas, right? Where the guests show up outside the selected homes to sing a series of songs, asking to come in to mark the traditional route of Virgin Mary and Joseph, and looking for a place to rest, right?
So it's kind of like caroling, but
yeah,
more like your dress up or trying to mimic what happened in Bethlehem.
Exactly. And it's those inside sing back to them, but they sing back to them that there is no room in the inn. And so they should move on to the next house. So they do try to,
So how do you sing Get Lost?
I bet you it's beautiful. But some people choose to attend the last Posada of the year and later gather as a family for Christmas dinner, right? So that on the 24th, right, they go to someone's house who they actually are eventually let in, and then they go through. But yeah, you're right. How do they say no in a Christian kind of way? Interesting enough, too. This isn't, I don't think, new news for most, but everything happens beginning with the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe on December 12th and goes through the Feast of the Epiphany on January 6th or Three Kings Day. The Feast of Lady of Guadalupe celebrates the famous story of an appearance made by the Virgin Mary. Thousands of people start a yearly pilgrimage on foot from all parts of the country to the Guadalupe Shrine in northern Mexico, and then it ends on Three Kings Day. Since the Three Kings brought gifts to Jesus, Three Kings Day is a traditional day when the Mexican children get their Christmas gifts, right? And so this has been changing, and it's kind of getting to be maybe more Americanized where they're on Christmas.
Oh, on the Christmas Day, yeah.
But the tradition has been to give gifts on Three Kings Day.
I remember hearing a story, and it was a girl here, a Spanish girl here in the U.S., and she wrote her letter and sent a letter to Santa. It was a letter to the Three Kings.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
This calls for some Christmas music.
Yes, this Christmas music.
What kind of Christmas music is that?
The least you could do is play some Christmas music.
And now back to Christmas music.
So I know we know how to sing Feliz Navidad, right? But let's hear a little bit of our music tonight for our choice. It's called La Rama, and maybe we can hear a little bit of it and talk about it.
Bellos girasoles, naranjas y limas, limas y limones, naranjas y limas, limas y limones, alíbe la virgen de todas las flores.
Abranme la puerta si quieren que cante, porque mi guitarra traigo por delante. Desde Veracruz venimos cantando.
Yeah, so La Rama means the branch, and it's a holiday tradition that takes place in multiple parts of Mexico, but in Veracruz, Mexico especially, the tradition is unique to this region. Every year when December arrives, residents cut a branch from a giant tree, decorate it with paper chains and objects like balloons, garlands, frost, or spheres. It also can be decorated with candles, and then people will gather and sing this song, La Rama. It's an excuse to meet with family and friends and going from house to house like Jesus and Mary, we just talked about, singing the song with verses that speak about the birth of the baby Jesus.
Isn't that great? Like decorating a big branch. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is intriguing.
There's a lot of them I could use in my yard that we could do.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's really a happy song.
You know?
And that version is actually by a group called the Flammers.
Oh.
Or the Flame. Yeah. But their Christmas album, I actually listened to some of their other songs. Just very, like, you, it's hard not to be happy.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard not to move.
Exactly. Yeah. So, very, very, very interesting tradition. So Bob, maybe as we kind of wrap up, you know, as you can see in Mexico, there's other days other than just Christmas Day, right? There's the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe or Three Kings Day, along with other traditions associated with them. Other countries celebrate, on St. Nicholas Day. Are there other days or traditions that you enjoy with your family that occur on a day other than Christmas or Christmas Eve?
Well, ironically, maybe this is why I like Christmas so much, my birthday is the Feast of the Assumption of Mary.
Yeah.
It's December 8th. So even as a little kid, it was a day of obligation. So I would take off of school and we'd go to church. And so I always had the day off. So that was great. And so typically our family will usually do our Christmas event around that or on that day, because it's my birthday, because it's the holy day. And, so we actually do.
Oh, that's nice.
How about you?
It's a good question. Three Kings Day and growing up was an important day because of some of my mom's side. There's people who really enjoy their Russian Orthodox. Mm-hmm. That was their day, was the Three Kings, right? Which is growing up why we traditionally kept everything and all the holiday and festive activity going up through December or January 6th.
Yeah, that's the day I take down my lights.
Yeah. Well, we could never take them down before. We mostly kept them. But on that day, right, we would often attend our other family members' parties, as well as to sort of celebrate with them. And they would, and it's funny now reflecting on that, we often would get little trinkets or gifts from my aunts who did celebrate that day. So, yeah, that's interesting.
That's good.
So another movie behind us. This one was a lot of fun.
A
lot of fun. I mean, just like you said,
Look at the two of us sitting here in our devil outfits. You could tell we enjoyed the movie.
Yes. I think I would play a better Adam. I guess I want to go back and
see. I don't know if we have a fig leaf big enough there, Mark. I don't know.
Oh, my. So let's wrap up with a quote. So I really like this quote. Christmas works like glue. It keeps us all sticking together.
Wow. That is really good. I like that. Yeah. I like it.
So we want to hear from you. Please send your comments, suggestions to us, right? You can reach us at festivefans@AOL or go to our Facebook page. Thank you again for listening to us. This movie probably is the highest rated one that Bob and I have given since we've been doing this together.
Yeah,
it's definitely a top two or three.
Yep.
So get out there, watch it as a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and happy Halloween.
And happy Halloween. Thank you.
Actually, we're done.
Done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. It's over. It's
over. This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.